Welcome to Transformed by Grace, an in-depth Bible study of God's Word, presented by the Berean Bible Society. Join us each time on this station as Pastor Kevin brings the transforming message of God's grace revealed through the Holy Scriptures.
The following story was sent to us at Berean Bible Society by a dear friend of our ministry. He said this, "When I was a child, there always used to be a picture puzzle in the comic section of the newspaper. It was a line drawing with small hidden images woven into the fabric of the bigger obvious drawing. You'd have to turn the drawing this way and that and look among the lines to find the hidden images that were listed under the drawing." He said that the fact is that I wasn't very good at those puzzles. However, my grandmother was very good at it. She would take a quick look, rotating the drawing this way and that, and then pick up a pencil and begin tracing around the outline of the hidden image as she narrated, "Okay, here's the bunny's ear, see? And here's his nose. His tail is here, and these are his hind legs." This dear brother continued, "At some point, as she traced the outline with a pencil, the rabbit would suddenly appear to me, and there it was, no mistaking it. How did I not see that before? It was so obvious once it was pointed out. Not only that," he said, "but once I saw it, I couldn't unsee it. I couldn't look at the drawing without seeing the bunny there, plain as day." The application that he went on to make is, this is the way it is with rightly dividing the Word. One can read the Bible, perhaps for many years, but not pick up on the different ways God has dealt with mankind. For example, his distinct prophesied dealings with Israel compared to how he deals with the church, the body of Christ. On one's own, we may not pay attention to how the teachings of the four Gospels differ from the teachings in the Pauline epistles. We might not really see or understand. However, when a person hears a Bible teacher who understands this truth, that teacher, like my grandmother did with the picture puzzle, sort of traces around the outline of the dispensational changes. He points out the law and the kingdom program in the four Gospels that was rejected, and then points out the transition in the book of Acts where Israel is gradually put aside, and then points out what was revealed to Paul as he established the church. Often that person will suddenly see what he or she did not see before, and as with the picture puzzle in the newspaper, once a person sees it, there it is. It's obvious. Now the person cannot read the Bible without seeing the dispensational distinctions, plain as day. Now the person has a framework with which to put the pieces of the Bible together. Ephesians 2:11-13 and verse 19 read, "Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." In these verses, you can see time words, in time past and but now. God wants us to understand His Word. And by looking at the Scripture from the perspective of time past, time present, and time future, it can bring clarity to its structure as a whole. In these verses, Paul is making the distinction between how it was for the Gentiles, or the people of the nations, in time past, under the program of prophecy with Israel. And it wasn't good. We were without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But then Paul says, but now. Verses 11 to 12 were how it was for Gentiles in time past. Verses 13 and 19 show how it is in time present. Paul wrote, but now, and now in time present. We who were far off from God are made nigh to Him by the shed blood of Christ at the cross. And now we are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens of the household or the family of God. God has turned to the nations today by His grace to have a program with us. And we learn through the Apostle Paul about our up-to-date position before God and the opportunity that is ours by grace. All of the Bible is for us. 2 Timothy 3:16 states that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We find teaching, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness from Genesis all the way to Revelation. In Romans 15:4, Paul wrote, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." The things written aforetime are for us. They are for our learning. But notice that Paul does not say that they are all for our obedience. And that's because they are not always for our obedience. Many things under the law do not apply under grace. All the Bible is for us and for our learning, but not all the Bible is written directly to us and for our obedience. A basic example of that is the animal sacrifices and the feast days that were required under the law in the past. But today, those things are not for our obedience. When you look at the Bible through the time lens, we find that in time past, their scriptures were Genesis through Malachi and Matthew through John. The book of Acts is a transitional book from time past into time present. In time present, the scriptures are Romans through Philemon. In time future, the primary scriptures will be Hebrews through Revelation. God has two programs, one with Israel concerning the earth, and one with the church, the body of Christ, concerning the heavens. In time past, God dealt with Israel. In time present, God is dealing with the body of Christ, Jew and Gentile, in one body. In time future, God will resume His dealings with Israel. In time past, the scriptures were about prophecy for Israel. God gave prophecy and fulfilled prophecy during that time. The prophetic message concerned the Jewish nation, her land, her future, her Messiah, and her kingdom. From Genesis 12 through the Gospel of John, the message was consistently about these things for Israel. However, when Israel fell due to her unbelief in her Messiah, God then turned to the nations, and He ushered in a dispensation of grace that was never made known in prophecy. The current dispensation, with its church and our hope of heaven, was made known in what Paul calls the revelation of the mystery. Thus, the scriptures in time present have to do not with prophecy, but with the revelation of the mystery. And what the mystery is the body of grace truth that was unrevealed by God in time past, and God revealed it first to the Apostle Paul, and it is now fully revealed in Romans to Philemon. These books of your Bible are what apply directly to the church today and are for our obedience today. The scriptures of time past and time future, Genesis to Malachi, Matthew to John, and Hebrews to Revelation, are all for us. They're for our learning. They are profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. But Romans to Philemon are Christ's time-present scriptures and his message and will for his church, the body of Christ, under grace. God revealed within the mystery that this age will close with the pre-tribulational rapture of the church. When the church is caught off this earth before the tribulation begins, God will then return to his dealings with Israel. That is when the scriptures of Hebrews to Revelation will directly apply and must be obeyed. Many prophecies given to Israel in time past, in Genesis to Malachi and Matthew to John, will also find their fulfillment in that day. And they will use and need those time past scriptures to navigate the future day of the Lord. But it is Hebrews to Revelation that will primarily guide believers in that day. Just the fact that Hebrews to Revelation are in God's Word show you that there will be believers during the tribulation. Many will be saved after the rapture through the witness of the two witnesses and the 144,000. Believers in the future are encouraged to persevere, overcome, live out the love of God, prove their faith by their works, confess their sins, keep the commandments of God, and believe in Jesus as the Messiah and God's Son. All these things you find in the Hebrew epistles. Those are all things required of Israel, and they apply directly to her after the rapture of the church. The book of Revelation is actually a guidebook for believers to live by day, month by month, and year by year through the tribulation. God in his mercy and grace has provided Israel with a book that tells her what to expect and what's coming next in the tribulation. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 8 reads, "For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles." Past, present, and future all walked into a room at the same time. Things were tense. In time past, in Genesis to Malachi, God worked in Israel first through her patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, giving the promise to Abraham of a great nation and a great land. Later, God raised up Moses and gave Israel deliverance from bondage in Egypt, and then his covenant of the law was given to her at Mount Sinai. King David was given Israel's covenant of an everlasting throne and kingdom through his seed. And all the prophets sent by God to Israel all prophesied of that kingdom in time past and called Israel back to God's law. In time past, in Matthew to John, John the Baptist came on the scene baptizing, preparing the nation for her Messiah, calling on her to repent, preaching that the kingdom was at hand. Christ raised up 12 apostles who will one day judge the 12 tribes of Israel in the kingdom. And to Peter was given the keys of the kingdom. It was Peter's confession that people needed to believe to be saved, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That confession and its truth about Christ was the rock upon which the kingdom church was and will be built. Peter is a key man, you could say, for time past. However, after Israel crucified their Messiah and persisted in their rejection of him as the ministry of the Holy Spirit was carried out in Israel, at the stoning of Stephen, Israel fell. And God then turned to the nations with a program of grace. God raised up a new apostle, the Apostle Paul, and called him to be the apostle of the Gentiles. And Christ revealed his message and will for the dispensation of grace to Paul. For time present, the Apostle Paul is God's spokesman, leader, and apostle. After the rapture of the church, it reverts back to God's dealings with Israel, meaning that the Apostle Peter will once again be God's spokesman, leader, and apostle that Israel needs to follow in time future. Peter and his apostleship and writings, along with the writings of the Apostle John, are what will primarily guide Israel in time future. In 1 Peter 1:7, we see Peter encouraging his countrymen, and this verse will apply in the future tribulation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, that is, in the tribulation, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, meaning the second coming at the end of the tribulation. The problem is, everyone wants to believe and follow Peter during time present. But when Israel fell, Peter and his apostleship diminished in authority until it faded away completely as God transitioned away from Israel and transitioned to the Gentiles and to Paul and his apostleship, which is God's current dealings in time present. To follow God's will for this present age, we must follow Paul as he followed Christ and not follow Peter as he followed Christ. Philippians 2, verses 9 to 11 read, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." As far as Scripture goes, time past, time present, time future are all about Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit authored a book that is all about Him and gives Him the glory. In time past, the office of Christ that the Spirit made known was that of Him being Israel's Messiah and King. When Christ came to this world, He was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Christ ministered to her and powerfully demonstrated by His teachings and miracles that He is her Messiah and the very Son of God. Ministering under the law and prophecy, Christ kept the law perfectly and fulfilled prophecy perfectly concerning Himself and His ministry. And the Lord also prepared Israel for the tribulation in His earthly kingdom at that time. Romans 15:8 says of the Lord's earthly ministry, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision," or the Jews, "for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers." Of course, we know that Christ died for the sin of the world, was buried, He rose again, He ascended to the Father. After He ascended, the Spirit was sent to Israel. When Israel continued in her rejection of Christ and ended up stoning Stephen, Israel was set aside temporarily in unbelief, and God's program with Israel ceased for a time. God then, the next thing you read is He raised up a new man, the Apostle Paul. And in time present, the office of Christ that was revealed to Paul is that Christ today is the head of the church, the body of Christ. That is the office Christ is currently carrying out today in heaven. Today, in Christ's exaltation, He ministers to and through the church, the body of Christ. He gives His church His grace, wisdom, and power as we serve Him as His ambassadors and representatives in this world. And He makes intercession for us at God's right hand. Christ is offering the world grace and peace in this dispensation, and He is saving those who by faith alone trust Him and His finished work. This program will close with Christ descending and returning to the air to catch the body of Christ up to heaven to be with Him in heaven. This program will close with the return of Christ in the air to catch the body of Christ up to heaven to be with Him in glory. Then after the rapture in time future, the office of Christ that he will carry out will return to that of him as Israel's Messiah and King. In time future, the primary ones who are in view are the Antichrist and Jesus Christ. The Antichrist will come to the forefront, will rise in power after the rapture. His coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, Scripture says. And during the tribulation, he will perform mighty miracles to deceive and convince most of the world that he is the Messiah. After the Antichrist is assassinated at the midpoint of the tribulation, he will rise again and declare himself to be God in the flesh and require worldwide worship. The gospel records from time past will be what the Spirit will use in that day and time future to show that Jesus Christ truly is the Messiah and the Son of God. That is the purpose of the gospels, because salvation under the gospel of the kingdom is tied to faith in Christ's identity. And so the scriptures of time future, 1 John 2:22 writes of that time, "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ or Messiah? He is an Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son." 1 John 4:15 also says, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God." After the Antichrist rises from the dead, the world will be required to worship his image and to take his mark. At that point, people must make a decision. If they take the mark of the beast, then they believe in the Antichrist as the Messiah, and they are going to hell. If they refuse to take that mark, then they show their loyalty to Jesus Christ, and they will be hunted, persecuted, and killed by the Antichrist. And it's in that day, scriptures like Matthew 10:28 will apply directly. "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." The true Messiah will be revealed when Christ returns in glory and power at the end of the tribulation at the Battle of Armageddon. At that time, the Lord will consume the Antichrist with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy him with the brightness of his coming, and that beast will be cast into the lake of fire forever. Israel's true Messiah and King will then establish his kingdom on the earth. Daniel 2:44 reads, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." In time past, the prophets prophesied of the future everlasting kingdom of God. They tell how it will be established on the earth, that it will be a kingdom of peace and righteousness, and the Messiah will reign as king over all the earth. In time past, in Matthew through John, John the Baptist came on the scene and announced to Israel that this kingdom was at hand. Matthew 3, 1-2 reads, "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The Lord Jesus Christ then said in his earthly ministry of his kingdom, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And in time past, in early Acts, the Apostle Peter even offered that kingdom to Israel, saying in Acts 3, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you." If Israel had responded as a nation and repented of crucifying her Messiah, God would have sent Christ back to Israel. And when Christ returns to Israel, he will set up his kingdom on this earth. But the kingdom never happened. How could it be at hand 2,000 years ago, and 2,000 years later, it still hasn't happened? The reason is that it was postponed and temporarily suspended. Because after Israel fell in her unbelief, God ushered in a dispensation of grace that was kept secret in the mind and heart of God. This is time present, when the kingdom is postponed. In time past, the kingdom was prophesied, then it was at hand, and it was even offered to Israel. In time present, the kingdom is postponed, but in time future, after the rapture, when God resumes his dealings with Israel, that kingdom will again be at hand. And during the seven-year tribulation, the Lord's prayer will be literally fulfilled, and believers will be praying, "Thy kingdom come," out of their desire to be delivered from the judgment of the day of the Lord. And then at the end of the tribulation, heaven will open, and Christ will return on a white horse, coming to judge and make war at the Battle of Armageddon. His feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, and following his glorious victory at Armageddon, the Lord Jesus will establish and inaugurate his kingdom on the earth, and he will reign. Revelation 11:15 says, "At that time, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Looking at Scripture with a time past, time present, time future structure can aid in our understanding of God's Word. It's important that we recognize what God is doing in time present so that we do not misapply Scripture meant for time past or time future, or blend and mix the truths that are unique to the two programs of God. In doing that, we will be rightly dividing the Word of truth.
Your ministry is simply fantastic, Pastor Kevin. You have such a beautiful way of presenting the truth of the Bible rightly divided, and it has made such a fantastic impact on our Christian walk and understanding. I cannot say enough about that. We love Berean Bible Society and love Transformed by Grace, as it is an incredibly beautiful ministry of truth.
Thank you again for tuning in to Transformed by Grace. We appreciate your prayer support and the financial gifts. The purpose and mission of the Berean Bible Society is to help you understand the whole counsel of the Word of God. For more information, visit our website at www.bereanbiblesociety.org or give us a call at 262-255-4750. Or if you prefer, write us at the Berean Bible Society, P.O. Box 756, Germantown, Wisconsin, 53022. Now, until next time, may you be transformed by God's grace.